الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى، أما بعد، أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. وما أموالكم ولا أولادكم بالتي تقربنا زلفى إلا من آمن وعمل صالحا. قال تعالى في المقام الآخر: يا أيها الذين آمنوا أن تخشع قلوب لذكر الله وما نزل من الحق. قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: أفضل الدعاء الحمد لله، وكما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام: اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقهوا قولي. Everyone, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Assalamu
alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. We hope everyone, inshallah, had a very wonderful Eid celebration, mashallah ta'ala. May Allah make it easy on everyone. May Allah accept everyone. Accept everyone's Eid Jama'ah, everyone's Eid al-Fitr. And may Allah bring us happiness like He brings us happiness on the day of Eid. May Allah make the day that we meet Him a day of Eid as well, inshallah ta'ala. We thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for giving us so many bounties and so many blessings. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by definition is As-Samad. As-Samad is someone who is la yahtaju la shay wa yahtaju ilayhi kullu shay, that no, he is in need of no one and everything is in need of him by definition. The Arabs would never use at the time of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, they would never use the word Samad unless it was referring to Allah azza wa jal, because no one could be Samad, no one can be absolute in that sense. Where, and that's why you find translations that they will say Allah ta'ala is absolute, which no one's understanding what the absolute mean. The meaning of Samad is, Allahu Samad, is that Allah Ta'ala is not in need of anyone, and everyone's in need of Him. And the only being, by definition, that can be that is Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. He doesn't need our fast, He doesn't need our Eid, He doesn't need our tilawah, He doesn't need our ibadah, He doesn't need anything that we do, but we need Him desperately, Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. We require Him for everything, we need Him for every breath that we take, for the fact that our hearts are beating, the fact that we have another start again in life. Every single time we wake up, we say, Alhamdulillah alladhi ahyana. We thank Allah Ta'ala for giving us the tawfiq to be alive again, after we were dead. We were people that could have possibly died in sleep, and Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala gave us the tawfiq to have one more chance in life. So everyone should start that day with so much positivity, that feeling that everything will be fine. Alhamdulillah, I have another chance at pleasing Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala gave us the blessed gift, the blessed guest, the blessed messenger from Him, which is Ramadan. Allah has sent this messenger down, and we make dua to Allah Ta'ala when Allah sends a mehman, right? When you have a guest coming to your house, you want to make sure your guest is always is feeling the best that they can feel. And they're happy with the food, they're happy with the environment, right? And that's why we always tell people who are inviting people who are halal sensitive, right? This is a category of people. Then always ask what kind of food that they want, if they want this type of Dhabih Hamid or whatever, because maybe they're not sensitive with the store that you eat from. And that's the way that your guests will feel happy that, wow, my host actually cares about me. And so Allah does send down the guest of Ramadan. And this mehman of Ramadan that came down, we have to make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because this mehman went back, this guest went back. It went back with everything that we've done. Everything that we've done in that month. The tilawah we did, the zikr we did, the Quran we read, the siyam we did, it went back. And reported back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Ya Allah, this is what your slaves did, this is what they did, and this is what they did. And I saw them doing this, and I saw them doing this. And so Ramadan comes as a very strong witness for people on the Day of Judgment. It can be a witness for you or against you. It can be a witness for you or against you. The month of Ramadan is a witness for us, because why? Because we took Ramadan, we said Allah is the Rabb of Ramadan, and He's the Rabb of Shawwal. So we continue to do things from Ramadan, we continue them after Ramadan as well. But there are certain people, and may Allah save us and protect us. And I apologize if this part of the bayan will be a little harsh on people, but just as a strong reminder for people, inshallah ta'ala. For many people, it might be that Ramadan comes as a witness against them. May Allah save us and protect us from that. That Allah Ta'ala will, that Ramadan will come on Qiyamah saying, Ya Allah, they did all these things for me, but after I left, they completely abandoned you again. So what were they worshipping for? What were they doing it for? Shaitan comes very quick at people. Very quick at people. I explain many of these things in Ramadan as a warner, as a type of warning for people. Because why? Because shaitan comes very quick to take people right off the straight path that they were on, and that people felt like they were doing all their ibadah. Ramadan truly is a month where we can see our potential. If you want to see how you can be, or what kind of person you can achieve, what kind of character you can achieve, you can look at Ramadan and tell myself, and I can tell myself that this is how, what kind of person I can be. And so Ramadan shows us that. Ramadan really shows us that. Every year, mashallah, must have been reading so much Quran. doing so much dhikr, so much this and that, and that was just you and me. That was just you and me, without the influence of shaitan. But what does shaitan say? Shaitan says that you have another day. You have another day, you have another day. Allah Ta'ala has given you so much wealth. He's given you so much children, He's given you such a beautiful house. He's given you such a beautiful wife. He's given you such a good spouse. Allah Ta'ala loves you. Don't worry about it. You're fine. And shaitan does this. Hassan al-Basri rahimahullah ta'ala, he said, إِيَّاكُمْ وَالتَّسْوِيف. Don't say sofa. Imam Hassan al-Basri said, sofa in Arabic means, I will, I will, I will. Don't say, I will do, I will do, I will do. If I could change Nike's logo, I would say, instead of saying, just do it, you should say, just do it now. Just do it now. And that's why the ulama have said that when it comes to the sixth fast of Shawwal. Because the way you know that Allah Ta'ala loves your ibadah is that Allah Ta'ala lets you do another type of that ibadah. And so the ulama have said that a comparison to the month of Ramadan's fast is the month of Shawwal's fast. So it's a good sign that when a person was able to fast right after the day of Eid, it's a good sign that Allah Ta'ala loved their fasting in Ramadan. So Allah Ta'ala want to see another fast. And the sixth fast of Shawwal is so beautiful. The hadith of Muslim, the Prophet ﷺ said, whoever follows up Ramadan, man atba'a Ramadan bi sitt min Shawwal. Whoever follows the fasting of Ramadan with 6 days of Shawwal, he is kana ka siyam al-dahri. He gets the fasting of an entire year. And in another interpretation of dahr is, hal ata ala al-insani heenu min al-dahri lam yakun shayya mazkura. Dahr can mean entire lifetime. A person fasting another 6 days can get another lifetime of ibadah, mashallah. This is what Allah Ta'ala wants us to do. And so what, at the time of the death of Umar radiallahu anhu, when he was about to become shaheed, he was Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, which was his prime student. His prime student was Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu. He comes to meet his teacher, and he says, Ya Amir al-Mu'mineen. He tells Umar radiallahu anhu, O Amir al-Mu'mineen, how great are you? You are such a wonderful person. The Khalifa of Abu Bakr, the Khalifa of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You were at a time when Islam was being degraded and debased. You were someone who elevated and raised the rank of Islam. You were someone that at the time when Islam was being turned away, you were someone who embraced it. You pushed Islam to the corners of the known world at their time. You did this and you did this. And Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, he said, وَقَدْ مَاتَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ وَهُوَ عَنْكَ رَاضٍ. And it's beautiful. He said that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam passed away and he was pleased with you, Umar. Saying so many beautiful things about Umar. And what? 17 ayat. Imam Suyuti rahimahullah ta'ala said that before it came, the ayah came down on the tongue of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, it came down on Umar radiallahu anhu's tongue. When Umar radiallahu anhu saw people drinking, he said, Ya Rasulullah, there should be something we should tell people about drinking. So Allah revealed the ayah to the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. Umar radiallahu anhu would say, Ya Rasulullah, there are people that come into your wives to come to see them, and I don't think they're always the best people that come. So Allah revealed the ayah, وَإِذَا سَأَلْتُمُوهُنَّ مَتَاعًا فَاسْأَلُوهُنَّ مِنْ وَرَاءِ حِجَابٍ. Every ayah of hijab that came down Umar radiallahu anhu's tongue. Every ayah about forbidding alcohol came down Umar radiallahu anhu's tongue. When he came to make Hajj, he said, Ya Rasulullah, we should take the Maqam Ibrahim as a place of ibadah, as a musalla. So Allah revealed the ayah of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, وَاتَّخِذُوا مِن مَقَامِ إِبْرَاهِيمَ مُصَلَّى. Every single ayah that these 17 ayat came down in the tongue of Umar before it came down the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. It's a very simple thing, and I've tested this too. When you have like an old fashioned radio, and you have a cell phone on top of that radio, what happens is this, that before the cell phone is supposed to receive the call, but because the radio is there, the radio receives the call, you know, starts to ring, it starts to make a noise before it comes to the cell phone. So in other words, Umar radiallahu anhu was a good receptor of the wahi of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. He was just in the vicinity and he's able to catch the little frequencies of wahi. Such a man, such an individual, that you're never going to, it's mentioned in his time, over 2.2 square feet of land was conquered in his time, subhanAllah. A man of such caliber, such strength, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said, he walks on one road, shaitan walks on the other road. This is Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu. These are people that he asked Aisha radiallahu anha. He said, oh Aisha, I want I know you have a spot next to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam. Your qabr is next to his qabr. But I would ask you and I request you, can I have that spot? And Aisha radiallahu anha said, I would never have given to anyone except for you, Ya Umar. This is such a man. At this time, and Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu was praising him. And Umar radiallahu anhu said, oh boy, come here. He said, look, if I had the entire dunya, and I had everything in the dunya, and I can give it all away in sadaqah, I would do it right now because what? Mean khawfi hawlil matla', because I'm afraid of the day of judgment. I'm afraid of qiyamah. And this is a man who's a million, billion times greater than you and I could ever be. And what happens is this, we get very lazy with little things that we do. Unfortunately speaking, we become very lax. The gift of Ramadan is a gift Allah gave you and I. You can ask other religions, you can ask other faiths, they don't have a month like Ramadan. They don't have a month like Ramadan. They don't have a night like Laylatul Qadr. And you and I have this from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He's given us this as a gift from Him. He wants us to value and cherish these things. But what do? After Allah just shows us, يُرِيدُ اللَّهُ بِكُمُ الْيُسْرِ وَلَا يُرِيدُ بِكُمُ الْعُسْرِ. Allah just says He wants to make everything easy for you. He doesn't want to make anything difficult for you. What is that ease He wants to show us? He's showing that you could pray 5 times a day. You could even fast on top of that. You can stop eating even halal things in the day. You can stop doing all these things. You can stop all of them. I'm showing you, life is easy for you. That's what Ramadan is for. To make it, to be a witness for us. Ya Allah, you can make it, we can do it. We all can do it. It's very simple. But what happens? Because of wherever we come from, the way that Islam is practiced in our countries or whatever, we take Ramadan and then we leave Ramadan right after. We show this ingratitude. And this has to change. We are not people who are ungrateful. وَلِيَعْتُ بِاللَّهِ. We are وَلَعَلَّكُمْ تَشْكُرُونَ. The goal of Ramadan is what? That you become grateful. My brothers and elders and sisters in Islam, there are Muslims in Uyghur China, that they are being force-fed pork. They're being force-fed alcohol. They're being force-fed wine. They're being force-fed to marry non-Muslim women. The Muslim women are forced to marry non-Muslim men. There are people that are being forced that they can't even fast. My brothers and elders and sisters in Islam, that there are children in Syria. There are men and women in Syria that because of the bombings that are happening on top of them, they don't have any place to stay, let alone any food to eat. They are wondering what are they going to do for Eid Day. Ya Allah. They're wondering what they're going to do for Eid Day in Yemen and Syria. Because why? Because they have nothing to enjoy on. And then what? Then you look at us, that we've been given all these things from Allah Azza wa Jalla. We've given so much from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So many things from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The fact that you and I have a roof over our head is such a great ni'mah of Allah. The fact that you and I have food on the table is such a great ni'mah of Allah. That you and I have a family to go back to at home. There are certain kids in Syria, which I was reading the reports, they said, they asked, what do you want for Eid? They said, I wish I could see my mom again. SubhanAllah. We are people that unfortunately, we have become ungrateful for the gift of Ramadan. The gift of Ramadan was that you're supposed to take a little bit of Ramadan with you. And just tell yourself, وَذْكُرْ رَبَّكَ إِذَا نَسِيتْ. Ya Allah, I forgot. This is the best way a slave should be. Ya Allah, I forgot. I made a mistake, Ya Allah, I forgot. وَقُلْ عَسَىٰ أَيَّهْدِيَنِي رَبِّي لِأَقْرَبَ مِنْ هَذَا رَشَدًا. Ya Allah, I forgot a little bit. 2 days after Ramadan, where was I like just a week ago? Where was I like a few days ago? What was I doing a few days ago? This is how quick we can forget. This is how quick we can forget. We absolutely forget how we were just a couple of days ago. Because shaitan works really fast in our minds. So Allah Ta'ala tells us in the Quran, when you forget, it's going to happen. Just remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and start up again. And make this dua. What is this dua? وَقُلْ عَسَىٰ أَيَّهْدِيَنِي رَبِّي لِأَقْرَبَ مِنْ هَذَا رَشَدًا. Perhaps my Lord will let me take a couple of steps forward. Maybe I'll get a little bit more guidance now. Maybe I'll move a little bit closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's the goal of Ramadan. The goal of Ramadan is what? You are able to make Fajr, Isha and Jamaat regularly. Then make Fajr and Jamaat regularly afterwards. You are able to pray 20 rakats Taraweeh. Take back 22 rakats with you back home. You are able to give Sadaqah every single day of Ramadan. Make a Sadaqah every single day now the rest of the year. Just take a little bit back with you. Just a little bit back. You made such sabr against your families. You wanted to take out your tongue and scream at them and yell at them in Ramadan. And you were fasting, brother. You were so much fasting in that month. You were so angry at them. But you held your tongue because why? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is watching. That is by definition taqwa. That is by definition taqwa. I don't do something because I know Allah Ta'ala is watching. That is taqwa. And so what do we do after Ramadan? Alright, I'm not going to yell at them anymore. I could do it while I was fasting. Yeah, I can do it afterwards. We have to become people of gratitude. People of appreciation. And not look at those things. Whatever happened in the past, if I missed 1-2 days now, that's fine. Shaitan tells you this. He's like, man, you were so pious before. Now you did everything wrong. Just forget it. You can come back another Ramadan. And if someone can show me their certificate from the angel of death, that I can live till tomorrow. First of all, can I get one too? Okay. And secondly, can we see it? That yes, I have it from Mawlana Sahib. That the angel of death has told me that tomorrow is certain for me. I have yaqeen and I'm coming back tomorrow. No one has this yaqeen. And we pretend like we have this yaqeen. No one has the yaqeen of another Ramadan. But we pretend like we have this yaqeen. We have to become people of gratitude again. Mawlana Rumi rahimahullah ta'ala brings very beautiful stories in his Mathnawi. He gives 3 beautiful stories of a servant named Ayaz and the king named Mahmud. And I want to share them with everyone because I always benefit from these stories. It reminds me of a lot of things. Ayaz and Mahmud. Mahmud was a very noble king at the time. And he had many great viziers and many great he had many people, great people in his council. But then there was this young boy who was from like one of the back villages somewhere, and this man was chosen to become a very special attendant of the king. And so all the viziers became very upset. They're like, why would this king choose Ayaz? He's a nobody, he's a loser, total loser. And so the king heard about this from the viziers. So he wanted to show them, he wanted to prove to them that look, this boy that I brought, he's a very special boy. And so he brought out some of the fruits from the garden. But these are the fruits that they're not A level, B level, C level, they're like the worst fruits. They look very nice on the outside and they're very rotten on the inside. And so he brought these fruits out. And so the King Mahmud brought all of his council forward. He said, oh my viziers, please take a bite of this apple here. He said, eat the entire thing. And so they took a bite out of it and they found it to be so bitter and so sour. And they said that, oh king, we can't finish it. We can't finish it. It's too much. It's too sour. So they left it. And then, you know, he brought an entire batch of this. Wow, subhanAllah. So then he brought all the other viziers and each one started to eat one and one and one. But they couldn't finish any of it. They said, king, it's just too sour. It's just too bitter. We can't do it, king. So then the king calls Ayaz. He says, Ayaz, come. He says, Ayaz, eat the fruit. And then he eats it and eats and eats and he finishes it from one end to the other. He finishes it all the way to the core. And so the king asks Ayaz, he says, Ayaz, well, how did it taste? He said, oh king, it was incredibly bitter and sour. He said, it was so bitter and sour. And then the king said, then why did you eat it? He said, because in my mind, I measured two things. And I told myself this, that I said that, wow, the king feeds me so well every single day. The king feeds me so well every single day. And now one day he's telling me to eat one sour apple. I can do this. I can do this for the king. And many a times, what, that you and I, when it comes to, when Allah gives us all these beautiful things in life, and then one time Allah gives us one trial, and we're like, oh Allah, you hate us, we don't like you anyway, Allah. And then it continues. Ayaz and Mahmud, the king continues, and he says that, and so the viziers weren't satisfied with that. So the king brought out this beautiful jewel, very expensive jewel. He brought all of his viziers into the king's court again. He brought out Ayaz as well. And he brought all the viziers, and each one of them, he brought them to this jewel. And he said, oh my viziers, how expensive do you think this jewel is? They said, it's worth this much carat, this much this, and this and that. They tried to explain how beautiful this jewel was. And then the king said, here's a sledgehammer. I want you to destroy it. And then the viziers were like, oh, the king is testing our intellect. The king is testing our intellect. So they said that, oh king, we cannot destroy it, because this is a valuable property, a commodity of your kingdom, and we can't touch such a thing. So then one vizier said, and so the king says, that's your decision? He said, that's my decision, king. He said, okay, go. So each one came, and each one said, oh king, it's such a beautiful gem, we can't touch it. No way, we're not going to touch it. Don't, please, king. And so they all did the same exact thing. So the king brought out Ayaz. So Ayaz, come. And then he told Ayaz, he said, how beautiful, how expensive you think this gem is. He said, king, it's the most expensive jewel that I've ever seen in my life. He said, all right, Ayaz, take the sledgehammer and destroy it. So in one swing, he takes it and destroys the entire gem. And then the king, the viziers think, we got him. This kid's a complete idiot, a complete fool. He should have not destroyed the gem, but he destroyed it. And so then the king asked Ayaz, why did you do it? He said, king, I knew it was an expensive gem, but in my mind, I weighed two options here. I weighed the fact that the gem was very expensive, but then I weighed the weight of your command. I put them both in a scale, and I said that the command of my king is greater than this gem. And so that's why I destroyed it, because I knew that what you said for me to do is greater than this jewel. SubhanAllah. Many times Allah tells us to do something, and then we say we can't lose the dunya. We can't lose a little bit of dunya. But what? Allah's command is greater than the dunya. It's greater than dunya and akhirah. The command of Allah is greater than Jannah al-Firdaws. But we don't understand the value of it. And the last example that Ayaz, that Imam al-Rumi rahimahullah brings of Ayaz, is the most powerful and impactful example that I remind myself of daily. Is that the king was told by the viziers, because they were looking out to get Ayaz. So they said, oh king, we've observed something very strange from Ayaz. The king said, what is it? He said that Ayaz every single day goes to his locker. And in his locker, he just goes and opens it, and he checks inside, and he puts back the padlock on it, and he closes it. Why is he hiding something from you, king? There's something clearly suspicious. Maybe he stole something very valuable, and he left it inside that locker. And so the king was very upset. And so he brought in Ayaz. He said, Ayaz, is this true that you had this? You had such a locker and you had something in there. He said, king, it's very true. I have exactly what they said. It's exactly the truth. I do have something very precious in there. And the king said, will you show me, Ayaz? He said, I don't mind. I'll show you what it is. I didn't steal anything, king. Let's go together. So they go together. And then they go to his locker. And they open it up. And what do they find inside of it? They find some really worn out sandals. a really worn out kurta, a really worn out topi, like really just old and like, you know, just things that no one would wear. And so the king asked Isaiah, why are you hiding this? He said, king, this is my most valuable possession. He said, how is this your most valuable possession? He said, this is what I used to be. I used to be a boy who just had sandals. I used to be a boy that just had a small kurta they used to wear, a really worn out topi, right? And I never want to forget where I came from. I never want to forget where I came from. This is what happens when we came to America, when we came to this life, when we came from where we are right now. We forget that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us, one who gave us everything. We may have come from a village that no one even knew about, and Allah ta'ala brought us here. And when we came here, we said, ya Allah, we don't need you anymore. The blue passport, the bird on the passport does not make you a jannati. The amal is salihah will make you a jannati. The fact that we have wife and kids is not a sign that Allah ta'ala loves us. The sign that we have a house and things like that is not a sign that Allah ta'ala loves us. وَمَا أَمْوَالُكُمْ وَلَا أَوْلَادُكُمْ بِالَّتِي تُقَرِّبُنَا عِنْدَنَا زُلْفَى إِلَّا مَنْ آمَنُوا عَمِنَ الصَّالِحَةِ. Allah ta'ala says in the Quran directly that your wealth and your children are not things that Allah ta'ala says will make you people that are close to me. If you do good things with them, then you know Allah ta'ala loves you. If you're able to spend it in the right way, you know Allah ta'ala loves you. If you're able to train your kids to become ufaz and ulama and make them to pious Muslims, you know Allah ta'ala loves you. If you are people that you can use your time effectively, you know Allah ta'ala loves you. أَلَمْ يَأْنِنِ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَنْ تَخْشَى قُلُوبُنِي ذِكْرِ اللَّهِ. Hasn't the time come for people that finally they just tell themselves, you know what, enough bayans, enough khutab, enough talks, enough lectures, I just want to be a good person now. I just want to be a good person. We are not like Umar radiallahu anhu. We have a long way to go. We have a long way to go. And we have an entire life now. Inshallah, from today, I make niyyah, and I want everyone else to make niyyah, that whatever small amount I did in Ramadan, I'll keep a little bit now, inshallah ta'ala. If I was able to come for Isha regularly, I can do it again. I can do Fajr again. I can do these things. I don't even need to talk to anyone. Many people hate each other in this masjid. Whatever, that's fine. I've met a lot of little kids, young guys, like, I hate this guy, I hate this guy. That's great. Hate everyone. I don't even care. But you love Allah. You can hate whatever, but love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I came for the salah, I came and I prayed the Isha and I left. No one even knew I was here. I would love that. Because why? Because I don't even need to see you. Allah ta'ala just needs to see you. That's all I really care about. May Allah give us that tawfiq and hidayah to become people of hidayah, to become people of taqwa, to become people who take a little ibrah back to Ramadan. May Allah make us people who don't waste Ramadan, who don't waste the chances Allah has given us, who are not people who just wait and say, I will. The time is just do it now. Do not wait for tomorrow. Tomorrow is not certain. Give yourself to the present. It is a gift from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah give us all tawfiq, inshallah. Wa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But doesn't make sunnah, inshallah.